listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
Lamar holds it up. Maddox making the run. First to turn around by D'Ellip. Back for Lamar. Rolling Lamar. Deflected ball. Alan Cruz back. Oh! Cincinnati.
Having fun in Cincinnati. Major League Soccer, they got their home opener this weekend, a 3-0 win in that one. You know, we should have played that winner segment again, because the guy coming on the show now is the winner for jumping off the plane and jumping on with us. You're going to catch him calling the U.S. men's national team against Ecuador and Chile for ESPN. Former striker with the New England Revolution, the national team. Taylor Twellman joins us now. Taylor, thank you so much.
No problem, my man. How are you?
Buddy, I'm getting texts from you in the air. I mean, this is I'm going, man, maybe we're putting too much into this, the poor guy.
No, we're not. It's 2019. If only we could take a phone call in the air, then we'd be fine.
We'll get there. All right. We played the Cincinnati soundbite. How about a couple of thoughts with all your coverage on Major League Soccer of what happened there at home and their opener in Cincinnati?
Well, Glenn, the interesting part for me is, and this isn't a shot, but it is a statement, I'm surprised at how all of a sudden we're introducing Cincinnati. They've been doing this for a couple seasons in the USL. I mean, ESPN literally made their first Open Cup decision for a non-final game to cover it, and we went and covered FC Cincinnati a couple seasons ago. So it's no surprise to me. This is why they're in Major League Soccer. This is how quickly they turn the corner as a city, and when that soccer-specific stadium opens up, 26,000, the largest one in our country, then you're going to see it. But no surprise whatsoever. It really is a special, special place.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to watch everybody enjoying that. All right, so we got the men's national team coming up, and you know I always like going to you when you assess strikers. So, you know, what we see on the roster, Paul Areola, Corey Baird, Jonathan Lewis, Jordan Morris, Christian Ramirez, Jazzy Zardes. Who's most interesting out of that group to you and why?
It's a great question. Glenn, I look at Jordan Morris because I think if you looked at the way this group is currently playing, and listen, Jazzy Zardes with his form under Greg Berhalter in Columbus, career high 19 goals. He's obviously started off this year very well. I just don't know at the international level he's playing that number nine role. The way Jordan Morris has played for Seattle, I think in a wide position, he looks comfortable. I thought his goal against Chicago, you would agree with this, that first touch was sublime, perfect, and then the finish was even better. He looks confident. He looks fit, and he looks extremely comfortable playing in that wide role. And while everyone wants to talk about Tyler Adams and DeAndre Yedlin and what does the fullback look like, and does DeAndre Yedlin play, and blah, blah, blah. The reality is, Glenn, you tell me who's going to score goals for this team.
Yeah, I think that's the big issue. That's a big circle to put around. What about Christian Ramirez? He's interesting to me because he's scored goals at every level. He's a guy that seems to be moving forward and still has room to grow.
And you know what's interesting about that, Glenn, is look at what Greg Berhalter has done with his number nines, right? He had Kai Kamara, he had Ola Kamara, he had Jazzy Zardes. None of those are really big names.
Right.
None of those guys scored a ton of goals until they got with Greg. So you bringing up Christian Ramirez is a very interesting topic of conversation for me because he thrives 20 yards and in. And that's what Greg Berhalter's system ultimately did at Columbus. Now, I don't think that system is going to be the same with the national team. I think he needs a little bit more out of his nine and hold-up play, and that's why I think Christian Ramirez needs to grow and a little bit of that. But the reality is this. He's 20 yards and in. He's got the natural instinct. He scores goals at every single level. So I do think if he gets an opportunity, and that's always a big if, Glenn. We've seen tons of guys in the history of national teams around the world score a ton of goals at their club level, but sometimes the coach doesn't call their name, and for whatever reason that may be, they don't get a chance. But I think if Christian Ramirez gets an opportunity with two wide guys that can create opportunities for that number nine. He'll score goals. There's no doubt about that.
Boy, don't you remember the time when people were going, well, he scored a bunch of goals in the NASL, but we don't think it's going to transfer to Major League Soccer. And lo and behold, he's on LAFC, and he's picked by Bob Bradley. So if Bob Bradley's taking him to LAFC, there's something really good about this kid.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good one. Let's talk about, I was also, and we're talking to Taylor Twellman of ESPN, I was also very interested when the whole thought of, Greg Berhalter came out. And by the way, I love this, Taylor. I think we need more of this from coaches who are brave enough to tell people what's happening. And I get it's a friendly and you might be more apt to say something and not be as fearful about losing a competitive edge. But I love the fact that he gave all of us in this country and in the press and fans the ability to begin to talk about this whole Yedlin being moved up higher in the field and Tyler Adams being played as a right back and then, as kind of a hybrid right back center midfielder. I think it's great that he comes out and says these things.
Couldn't agree more. I played for a coach, and obviously your listeners in Houston had great success against us in MLS Cups, but Steve Nichol was very eerily similar.
Yes.
And there's a statement there, Glenn, that very few people, until you're in the locker room, you've played at a high level, you understand it. There's an extra 2 to 5% of confidence that gives you as a group. And what I mean by that is your coach is basically coming out saying, no, this is what we're doing, try and beat us. And if you can beat us, great. There is a little bravado to that. And Greg's not doing it for bravado, he's just being transparent. But Greg played at a very high level. He played in a couple World Cups. So My point is that Greg kind of understands that. I just think too often when you're so secretive and so keeping everything close to the vest, you bring anxiety within the group. There's no real anxiety now. We all know Tyler Adams is going to be tried at right back. We don't know if Yedlin's going to start. We don't know that yet. But to your point, he's being transparent. We're having a conversation about it. He's putting himself out there, and I have no problem with it. As an ex-player, I used to thrive on that because your coach is basically saying, here's our 11 guys. Good luck. Try to beat us.
Yeah, incredible sign of confidence. I agree with you 100% because I do think that we do need healthy criticism. This is something that's been missing for so long. I mean, I've been banging that drum in this market for God knows how long because we just don't have it down here. And by not having that, it affects an entire soccer club, the players, the staff, everybody. And you can sit there and say all day long all you want about, well, as long as I put the pressure on myself, that's all that you need.
No,
and I say no.
Get
I say
here.
No. Exactly.
It doesn't work. It just doesn't work like that. And we say that, and I find that remarkable in our society and here in the United States that we say that. And meanwhile, for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all we see are sports talk radio shows and sports talk TV shows on our network here at ESPN about the NFL, the NBA, that is constant pressure, constant conversation, and yet if you try to have any kind of that conversation within our sport, it's as if you're not trying to grow the sport, which, to be quite honest with you, it's 180 degrees different. You are growing the sport by being critical and constructive criticism. Just throwing stuff against the wall, Glenn, doesn't work
because
you lose the viewer and the listener. But if you can't be constructively criticized, then you're in the wrong business.
No, I agree with you 100%, and I think that's something that we have to take stock in, and people have to take stock in. I mean, who do you want to play for and listen to? Jurgen Klopp or Jose Mourinho, or guys that are, building walls around their teams? I mean,
right. And,
you
and
love
you,
it.
To your point, though, Glenn, Klopp's actually okay with criticism, and he'll fight back when he feels like it's unnecessary. And then when he feels like, it's necessary, he goes with the punches. Look at the way Jose handled United, and look at him taking a shot at Paul Scholes. When the reality is, Jose, you've had a 180 times better career as a manager than Paul Scholes. Why even go that low and take that? Don't take the bait.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah, he gets in the sandbox at the lower levels. I'm with you. That was a slow breakdown, I think, that we saw occur.
But
at
on
Manchester
the other
United.
Hand, Glenn, it's healthy, and that's all people are talking about. We need more of that here.
Oh, 100%. And I'm with you there. Are we overly sensitive all across the board in Major League Soccer and even with the U.S. national team when it comes to, being a little bit more transparent? I mean, that's why I think Greg is really healthy for the situation that we're in now.
I don't know. I mean, it's always hard to have a blanket statement because I think over in the MLS circles over the last 3 or 4 years, I think we've gotten, different franchises have become more transparent and more open-minded, and some franchises are openly critical. When you look at, go to Atlanta right now, and if Frank DeBoer probably isn't going to get a beer in the public right now because there's real pressure in Atlanta. So, Glenn, I think that's changed. But overall, do I think we're a little overly sensitive? Yes. But I think as growth comes and as time comes of really seeing that growth as a league, I think MLS is going to get there. I really believe that. United States is a different story. You're being sued left and right. You haven't made, you failed to qualify for a World Cup. You go through this election process that was an absolute clown show.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're scheduling friendlies where barely 10,000 people are showing up. I don't think they have any room to be oversensitive because right now they've got to right the ship, and I think that's a big concern.
Yeah, I agree with you. And if only 10,000 are showing up, obviously not making the World Cup, and then obviously the length it took to get a manager put in place obviously has hurt the U.S. national team and its program. But what I would say to that is I look at this roster. I'm probably more excited and juiced about the national team in a long time because of these young guys that are going to have the opportunity to take the mantle.
Absolutely, Glenn. Couldn't agree with you more. And I think the younger the United States gets, the younger Major League Soccer gets. In general, there's going to be that overwhelming excitement. On the other hand, and I just posted a picture of this on Twitter getting off the flight, if you can go for a European qualifier in Portugal for less than $30, and you look at the ticket prices in the United States, then, Glenn, that's where there's got to be real questions asked. And the United States Soccer Federation will tell me, well, winning will change that. I don't know. Because you took 14 months to get that new coach, and because that you've lost that buzz, I'm not totally sure people are going to be paying that $80, $90 to $100 per ticket. So that's a real interesting conversation. But just the soccer in between the white lines, couldn't agree with you more. I've covered the team for 9 years. I haven't been this excited in a long, long time.
No, I'm with you on that one. And look, I always thought when your business was down, you had to show something to ingratiate yourself to your fan base, and that means knocking the ticket prices down. And
doing something, right, Glenn?
Yeah,
no,
you have to do something.
Whatever business is, it is doing something. And in this business, more often than not, it's ticket prices and whatnot. I mean, what would happen if they would? First off, it's a non-for-profit.
Yep.
And they've got a surplus. What would have happened if 2018 they said every friendly was free? Come see our team. Come rebuild this. Let's grow. You got to remember, Glenn, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the reality is, and people forget this, is that the United States Soccer Federation, your goal and your job is to grow the sport. That's not Major League Soccer's job. That is U.S. Soccer Federation's job. And that surplus of money, there's big question marks in the direction of where this federation is going. And I think there should be real criticism. I really do. And people within that federation will call me and text me, and I'll have that conversation. But I am openly questioning whether or not this direction is the right one. And you can say you win the Gold Cup this summer. That's fine and well. There's still major questions because your women's national team is suing you 3-4 months before they go to the World Cup.
Pretty crazy. You got 30 seconds. Christian Pulisic, as a number 10 or wide?
Number 10 for the United States. I want him on the ball as often as possible, and I am in the city where he had arguably his best game for the national team. It was against Panama in a must-win World Cup qualifier. He was simply outstanding. He's got more freedom. He looked me in the eye before the England friendly, and Glenn, he said, I have more freedom as a number 10, and with the national team, I think I can have more success and help the team grow. I'm with him on that, and plus, your depth is in wide areas. You don't have a lot of depth and creative players in the midfield.
Great comment to end it, Taylor. Awesome stuff. Let's get you back on, and let's continue this discussion on the national team program and things in the future. Have a great call Thursday. I will be watching. Thank you for making the time for us.
No problem, brother. Good hearing your voice.
Yeah, you too. Taylor Twellman.